taking me back. It's good. It's good to see you guys this morning. I hope everybody's doing well. We started just a two-part series last week called On Mission. We'll be taking communion this morning, so you should have those in your seats. If not, you can raise your hand, and we'll have an usher make sure they get you one of these little cups of juice. And but this morning we're going to go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 is where we're heading. And we were talking about how just as Jesus was sent from the Father, that he also sent us, right? That we've been sent on a mission. And that's what we want to be. We want to be on the mission that Jesus sent us on. And so we talked about how easy it is sometimes to get off mission. That we can go our own way, do our own thing, and make it about something else. But how important it is for us to continue to be on mission as the church and do what Jesus has called us to do. And so we're going to continue to talk about that this morning. Now, in 1989, there was a movie that got released, and it was about a guy by the name of Ray. And Ray was a farmer in Iowa. And Ray began to hear this voice in his head that said, anybody know? If you build it, he will come, right? If you build it, he will come. And so this iconic phrase in this movie is from the movie Field of Dreams. How many of you remember the Field of Dreams? Maybe you had to brush up on that, Field of Dreams. If you love baseball, it's a good baseball movie. It's a good kind of father-son reconnecting movie. I just kind of sat there and brushed up on it last night. Man, I started crying just thinking about it. You know, it's just like all this emotion in this movie. It's like, man, it's great. It's a good movie. And so if you've never seen it, I have been trying to introduce my sons to good old movies, right? And I don't know. I don't even know that we've watched this one. This is one of those that we need to sit down and watch and together. Because this story talks about is this voice that he hears, and he's telling, hey, if you build this baseball field in your cornfield, he will come. And what does that mean? Well, I won't spoil that. I'll let you go watch the movie. But this line has been used over and over and over. It's a magical moment. It's a cinematic moment. It's an emotional film. But this is a terrible, terrible church strategy, okay? Terrible church strategy. And the reason I say this is because I have heard this line used in church boardrooms over and over and over about, hey, this is what we need to do. We need to build the next building. If we build it, they will. If we get a better website, you know, if we build it, they will. Oh, man, maybe we just need a bigger sign, a brighter sign, because if we build it, they will. And what we found out is that, you know, they don't come, okay? Just because you build a building, just because you got a brighter sign, just because you got a blingy website, right? All these things that we try to make it about, it's not about that, right? And what we started talking about last week is so important because we want to be the people who are on mission, the mission that Jesus sent us on, right? And so the problem with this saying, if you build it, they will come, Jesus never said that, okay? Jesus never said that. He didn't say, build something impressive and then wait for the lost to find it, right? He didn't say that. That's not what he said. He said, what did he say? And we looked at this last week. He said, go and make disciples. So we found that in Matthew 28. He said this. He says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. And that's in John 20. We talked about those things last week. And so this morning we want to continue in this conversation because, you know, we don't want to just build something so we think people will come, right? We want to go so people will know. That's what we're called to do. Go into all the world so that people may know the love of Jesus, the gospel message that there's grace and there's mercy and he's come to rescue us, right? That's what we've been sent on. That's the mission we've been sent on. Don't not build it so they'll come. It's go so that they will know. And I want us to look at this, and if you'll go ahead and start turning in to Acts chapter 1, we'll get there in just a second. See, for the last 6 years, really for the last probably 15 years, we haven't waited for people to come to us, okay? We've not done that. It's not been our direction as a church. We have been going out, and today that's really kind of what this is about. It's I want you to see where we've gone, what we've done, and how you can step into this mission, all right? That's what I want you to see today. So there's a little bit of a recap of what's happened around here in the last 6 years specifically, and over really over the last 15 years since we've kind of looked at, God, what is the mission that you've sent us on? So let's go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Now, we talked last week, and we talked about John, and then we said, you know, right after John, you have the book of Acts. And what is the book of Acts? The book of Acts is the continuation of the work of Jesus. It is the disciples acting upon that mission and acting upon that commission that Jesus gave them, go into all the world. And so it's them really putting these words into action. That's what the book of Acts is all about. It's about the acts of the church, the early church. It's about the acts of the disciples. And really, it's about the acts of Jesus continuing on through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to start reading here. And I'm going to start in verse 6. I don't know that I gave you verse 6, but you guys, you can make that correction. I know, because y'all are really good. My apologies. Okay? So Acts 1, beginning in verse 6. And so, and when the time had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. This is it right here, verse 8. This is what I want you to see. This is really what I want you to get. And this was kind of why I only gave you verse 8 here. It says, but you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my what? Witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth, to the ends of the earth. And so we see this, that is he's kind of laying out, hey, I want you to be a witness. I'm going to give you the tools that you need. I'm going to give you everything that you need. And remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago too, when we went through the series called Already, that he has already equipped us, okay? We're not lacking in anything that we need, because his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, all right? And so he says that he has given us power to be witnesses. Where? He's given us power to be witnesses. Jesus didn't say, build a church and I hope they come, right? He didn't say that. He said, I want you to be my witnesses and start here and then go everywhere. That's basically what he said. He said, I want you to be my witnesses. And where do I want you to be? I want you to start right here, and I want you to go and take this and go everywhere. And so what does it say? This kind of outlines it in a little bit of a kind of a, if I think about this in my head in concentric circles. Like if you had a little circle and then a bigger circle and then a bigger circle outside of that. That's how I think about it. This is how I visualize this. And so Jerusalem, what is Jerusalem? Jerusalem is the those who are closest in proximity. Jerusalem is the ones who are closest to them in proximity. And so what is our Jerusalem? What is our Jerusalem? And in the context of for what he's calling us to do, it's Richmond Hill. Right? That's our context. Our Jerusalem is Richmond Hill. And so Richmond Hill is the center circle. It's the people who are closest to us. And then it begins to move out, right? It moves out to a region. It moves out kind of to a territory. Judea and Samaria, right? It moves to maybe a state or a national level. And this even crosses some ethnic lines as well, right? Because the Samaritans were people that the Jews didn't really, you know, they didn't really, you know, have a lot of connection with, because they were considered to be like half-breeds. And so it's like, hey, we don't hang out with you. And so it was not even just a geographical thing. It was an ethnic thing, saying we're crossing boundaries. We're crossing borders. We're going to places that are going to stretch us. Things are going to push us. And so Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and says what? To the ends of the earth, to the end of the earth. That is our what? Global impact. So this isn't just some random geography. This is a strategic discipleship. Jesus understood that authentic mission begins with proximity, and it expands through relationship, right? Our relationship is important. The relationships that we have with each other are super important. We're going to talk a little bit about that later. Taylor kind of touched on that a little earlier when she talked about our life group launch is coming up August 20th, and it's called Circle Up. And what are we doing? We're talking about these circles, these circles that we live in, the ones that are in proximity to us, and the relationships that we need to connect in. See, you can't effectively reach the world if you do not effectively reach out to your neighbor, okay? You can't reach the world if you're not going to reach the one that's across the street, right? You say, well, we're here, we're gonna win the world to Jesus, right? And you won't go across the street? How does that make any sense? How many of you know your neighbors? All right. How many of you glad that you know your neighbors? Okay, that's the difference. Some of you know your neighbors, but you may not want to know your neighbors, right? The same question could be asked of your neighbors. You know, do they know you? And they may not want to know you, right? But that's the thing. If we're saying, hey, we're taking this seriously, hey, we want to reach the world for Jesus, then are we starting on our street? Are we starting with who's across the street from us, next door to us, across the hedges, right? Across the ditch, right? Who is that, and have we begun there? And it doesn't mean that we can't do simultaneous, that we can't reach across the street while we're reaching across the world, because I believe the early church showed us that they can do the same, they can do both at the same time. And so we see this, that you can't effectively reach the world if you don't effectively reach your neighbor. So what happens if we're saying, hey, mission is important, if we want to be on mission, and we've talked about mission, what happens when mission drives everything, right? When mission drives everything that we do. This is what happens when mission drives everything. It changes some things. It changes our worship. What happens in our worship? Our worship becomes preparation for witness and not a performance for ourselves, right? That's what happens. When mission is driving us and it's driving everything that we do, when these guys get up here on Sunday morning, they're not here to entertain us. They're not here just to say, oh, that was a really good song and made me feel good and I like singing along with them. That's not why they're here. That's not what it does. When we allow mission to drive us, what happens is this prepares us to become witnesses, because we begin to sing the truth. And then we have that song in our head as we begin to sing that truth, right? Christ alone, right? Jesus, we're standing on that rock, right? He is our cornerstone, right? These are all things that we sing. And it becomes not just something that we sing. It becomes a truth that we live out. It becomes a truth that we reflect. And so what happens when mission drives everything? It changes our worship. Our worship becomes preparation for witness. It also changes our fellowship. Our fellowship becomes training ground for loving difficult people in our community. Come on, guys. Come on, somebody. This is what I'm talking about. It's really easy to go to church with people that you like, that like you, that look like you, they smell like you, right? They have the same ideas like you, right? But what happens when you get next to people who don't look like you and don't sound like you and they don't have the same background, right? And maybe they have different ideas about stuff, and it's like, whoa. Are we going to go down that road? And we have to. We have to, because this is what happens when we're on mission. When we're on mission and we're going and not just waiting for somebody to come, it changes our worship, it changes our fellowship, and our fellowship becomes training ground. Our relationships become a training ground for loving difficult people in our community. Why? Because we learn to love each other. Sometimes your pastor can be difficult. I know that's hard to believe. But you can ask that woman right there. She knows that sometimes living with me can be difficult. You can ask the staff at this church. That sometimes working, I know that is hard to believe, but sometimes working with me can be difficult, right? But when we are in relationship, what that means is it is sharpening us, that it changes our fellowship, that it says, hey, this is what it looks like to work with people who are not like me, they don't sound like me, they don't have the same ideas as me. But it means when we're on mission, mission is driving our worship, it is driving our fellowship, it is also driving our teaching, right? What does it do? Our teaching begins to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's what we find in Ephesians. That's why we do this. We're equipping the saints for the work of ministry, not just for our own personal enrichment. It's not just we're doing Bible study to find, man, that was a good little nugget right there. That's amazing. Wow, I learned something new today. I love just geeking out on Greek words and Hebrew words and all that kind of stuff. And some of y'all like to do that with me too, because we'll have conversations about that. But that's not just what it's about, right? That's not just why we're here. That's not why we teach. That's not why we learn. That's not why we look at God's word and say, okay, what can I receive out of this? Because what it's doing is equipping us to become ministers. Do you realize that? That you're being equipped to be a minister? How many of you showed up this morning to say, hey, I'm in training to be a minister? Stop it. None of y'all did that. You came this morning because you said, the minister is going to tell me something really cool this morning. No. I may. Hopefully I will. But what you need to understand is this. You're being equipped to be the minister. It's not my job. It's not my job to do it all. It's every one of us in here, we are equipped to do the work of ministry. If we believe Scripture, and if Scripture says that, and we find that once again in the book of Ephesians, that it's saying, hey, that you are equipped to do these things, this is what we're doing, right? So our teaching is about equipping saints for the work of ministry, not just personal enrichment. And thirdly, it's this, our resources, they get deployed strategically and not just conveniently. Our resources get deployed strategically. What does that mean? So in May of 2024, we did something around here that was kind of tough for us. It was somewhat difficult for us. Back in 2018, we started a preschool. And in May of 2024, we closed that preschool, Flourish. Some of you guys might have had kids there at Flourish. And Flourish was a great asset to our church for a long time. You say, why did we close it? Was it losing money? It never lost money. We never lost money. I think the only time that we probably came up short was during COVID when we had to stop, right? But everybody came up short at that point, okay? And so we actually always made money with that. But what we began to talk about in our staff and our leadership team and with our elder team is that, hey, that we believe that we're growing and that God wants to do something different here. And so it became about a strategy for us to be positioned to do something that God wanted us to do. And we didn't really know what that was going to entail. And so we shut Flourish down in May of 2024. And it was kind of tough. That was tough, right? 2 months later, we had a flood in our community. And what I began to realize and what we began to realize is if we had that preschool here at that time, we would not have been able to do outreach last August that we wanted to do. Because we had to train. And if you go on our website, you'll see some of the pictures. If you go back to our Facebook, you'll see some of the pictures. This whole room was cleared, and we had stuff all over, just pallets of food and diapers and water. And we had water in the hallways, and all these classrooms were transformed to hold stuff, right? And we became a center because it was in that moment that's what our community needed. And we were able to pivot in that moment to become what our community needed in that moment. And so I didn't regret that. When we look back on that, we say, God, thank you for allowing us to be able to be positioned strategically to be used in that moment, right? And so that's part of what this looks like. This is not theory for us. This is what we've actually done as a church. And so I want to share just a little bit of that with you. And I know that you've got a slide up here. Yeah. This is just a fraction of what we've done. This is just actually just some of what we've done. This is not everything we've done this year. This is just what I could fit on the slide. If you want to go and see what we've done over the last 6 years specifically, and really that's we had to take a lot of stuff off because we couldn't fit it on the web page. Can you go to that last slide, Ralph? There's a slide that said on mission with a QR code at the very bottom. There you go, right there. So this right here, if you scan that, that'll take you to our missions page on our website, or you can just go to nlcrh.com/missions, and that'll take you. And you could go and see everything, really, that we've been a part of for the last 6 years specifically. Everything that we've done, everything that we've been a part of this year is on that. So some of the things that we've done since 2011, what you have done, now not just what I have done, but what you have done, what's already happened since 2011, you've supported over 150 ministries, missionaries, and different missions. That might be locally. That might be different things here in Richmond Hill. That might be things that we've done in Georgia or across the state line in South Carolina or down in Florida. It might be something that we've done across the globe, where we've been in places like El Salvador and Thailand, Myanmar, places like that, that we've had people actually go from our church. And so these are places. Since 2011, you've helped over 150 ministries, missionaries, and missions. And the last 6 years, guys, in the last 6 years, you've given more than $160,000 to Kingdom Work locally, nationally, and globally. And that's not just saying, that's not like, hey, we paid the light bill, right? That doesn't include any of that stuff. That really doesn't even include a lot of the stuff that happens in-house right here that we just do on a weekly basis, right? This is some of the bigger stuff that we've done. Some of the things that where we have just been involved in missionary work and where we have partnered with places like the Old Savannah City Mission, right? And we've sent people or else we've sent resources. So in the last 6 years, we've put over $160,000 back into Kingdom Work. We've provided food. We've helped families that have been displaced. We've invested in youth camps. We've supported international missions. We've partnered with our schools. We've partnered with Bryan County community agencies to help make a difference in our community. All these things are things that we have done. And sometimes you don't see it. Sometimes you don't get the benefit of that. Because you're at work, you're doing your thing, or you're living your life. And so when we get a phone call, just like I did this past week, I got a phone call from a lady who said, hey, I need help. I'm about to be displaced. I have two kids. And we get a lot of phone calls, and we try to vet that as best we can. And so I just start asking questions. And sometimes what I find is people don't want to answer my questions, right? It's like, man, if you don't want to answer any questions, right, I don't know how far we can go in this conversation, right? But she just kept answering my questions. She just kept answering my questions. And I got down to the point, you know what? I met her. I took Raina with me, and I met her at a hotel. I want to make sure I made you understand. I took my wife with me, right? That sounded really bad as it was coming out, okay? Raina was with me, and we met this lady at the hotel. And we were able to help her keep from being displaced right there. And you did that. You did that. That's what happens when you give and you support ministry here. Sometimes it's doing things that you don't see that's happening. Sometimes it's doing the work that you don't see that's being done. And so these are things that we get a chance to walk in. And these aren't just like statistics, right? This isn't just like a bunch of numbers on a spreadsheet. This represents lives that have been touched and families that have been fed, communities that have been transformed. It represents the gospel being advanced. That's what this represents. And every dollar is a decision. And behind every ministry partnership is the heart that said, yes, Lord, use us. Yes, Lord, we're here, right? And so that takes me to the second scripture that I want us to look at today. And I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Now see, you didn't just sit in the seats. You showed up, right? Last August, you showed up. Every week, you give. Right, you showed up, you give, and you know what? So many of you serve just on a consistent basis, faithfully. You do this over and over and over and over. And you know what it does? It allows us to meet needs over and over and over and over. It allows us to be in places sometimes that we didn't realize we were going to need to meet needs. But you know what? When it's there and the opportunity presents itself, that's what I want us to be. I want us to be the church that says, yes, yes, we can. Yes, we can, and yes, we did, and yes, we will again, right? I want to be that kind of church. And this is what we see in Isaiah. Isaiah, and I'll just read it off the screen if you got that. the context of this is Isaiah is, he's seeing all this stuff, right? He's this throne room scenario with God, and this is what it says. It said, and I heard a voice that's saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. That's the church that we want to be. We want to be that church that says, here I am, send me. Now, I've got to wrap this up real quick, and we're going to take communion this morning. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand with me. See, the mission isn't a spectator sport. You have to keep on the move, and we want you to be on the move with us. And so I want you to enter a two-step today. It's like if this was a dance, I guess you could call it the New Life two-step, okay? So two steps that I want you to take today. The first step is this, is I want you to start thinking about life groups, stepping into relationship, right? Stepping into a deeper relationship with those people. Maybe you've just been going to church with on a Sunday morning. I want you to step into a deeper relationship with them and start tracking with somebody on a weekly basis, on a basis more than just Sunday morning where you're having a conversation. And it's not just, hey, you know, we give each other head nods on Sunday and then we walk out and get in our car and drive home, right? Where there's an actual relationship, there's a conversation that's taking place. I want you to think about that. August 20th, we have Life Group Watch coming up. Second thing I want you to do is this, is I want you to think about finding a place to serve. And you can go back and put that graphic back up, Ralph, that had a QR code on it. I want you to think about texting the word serve to this text number, 504-6044, 912-504-6044. I want you to consider and prayerfully say, hey, I come to church here, and this is great. I hear what you guys are doing, see what you guys are doing. Maybe God moving on your heart to be part of that in a bigger way. We'd love for you to be part of that in a bigger way. And so just an easy step for you to take is to do that, is to take that step and say, hey, I want to do this. I want to be part of this in a bigger way. Last thing I want us to do this morning is this, is I want us to take communion together. Because we don't show up here just to come and go to church. We're here to be the church. Right? So even when you're not in this building, you know what? You can be the church. Right? Because that's what we said. We're making you ministers. We're equipping you to be the ministers in your neighborhood, in your community, in your school, in this state, in this region, all over this world. And what we say and how we're going to end today is with communion. We're going to say, Lord, we thank you that we don't just get a chance to hear your word, we get a chance to put it into action. And that's what this is right here, that we become participators. Jesus invited us to participate with him. So I want you to just bow your head real quick. Because God's word says this, that we should examine our heart. We should examine ourselves. And so before we do this, I want you to do that right now. Would you just take just a second to examine your heart, to examine your life, to examine where you're at. Where have we gone off course? Where have we been off mission? Lord, this morning bring us back. This morning bring us back to being the people, not just to go to church and sit in the building together on Sunday, but we are people who have come together under your lordship, under your leadership, under your grace, under your mercy, through the gospel message, to become the church, to be disciples, to live out, not just to speak it, Lord, to live it out, to show it. So, right? Prepare us for this act. Prepare us, Lord, to receive communion, to be in participation with you today in the mission that you call us to be on. That's our prayer right now in Jesus' name. So, won't you take that first layer, peel it back, pull out that little piece of bread. It says, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, this is what his word says. Bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So, Lord, we thank you today. We hold this little piece of bread up. We thank you so much for your love. Lord, that it wasn't just words that you spoke that sounded good. It was actually a body that you allowed them to put on a cross to nail up for us. You put actions behind your words. Every word you spoke was backed up with an action that you took. So, Lord, we're grateful. We're thankful. But Lord, we also want to be not just reflective and just thinking about what you've done, but we want to reflect it in our life as well.